This podcast is sponsored by Happy Warrior Kava. Be a happy warrior. Drink, relax, and enjoy the strong and smooth taste of the best-selling kava in the islands. Happy Warrior Kava.
Of H&N Overtime, the Hawaii News Now Sports Podcast. I am sports reporter Kyle Chenin, joined in the H&N Digital Center by Davis Pittner. And we have someone in the middle.
It's Sienna.
Sienna, thank you for joining us again.
Thanks
we
for
are
absolutely
here
thanks,
because
though. Thank you.
We have a special episode.
Another this is a really this a is a special.
A special,
it's a special episode.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's special because it's all thanks to Sienna, right here.
Yes.
This was possible because of Sienna.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sienna, tell us about who we're talking to.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I, as a Chiefs fan, No.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
All right, there it is.
So, you know, the Super Bowl, we did our podcast, mm-hmm. and I thought, why not bring on somebody to kind of recap the Super Bowl, just talk a little bit about their time, but who better than a player
mm-hmm.
who played in it?
Oh, yeah.
That's also a former UH player.
Oh, my God.
Are you talking about a bow in the
in
pros?
The pros?
A bow in the pros.
I was talking about
in the pros.
A bow in the pros.
Yeah, so, I mean, I reached out to Marcus, and he said he'd be on the island, so I was like, let's bring
great.
Him on. Yeah, and so I'm really excited to chat with him and see what he has to say, just kind of talking about the Super Bowl, but also, you know, he recently got traded to the Commanders, so also talking about, like, that time in Kansas City
mm-hmm,
is kind of wrapping
mm-hmm.
up now.
Right.
And his new home will be in Washington.
That's so great.
So
yep.
cool.
Yeah.
Former UH wide receiver, number 14, Marcus Kemp. Now,
yeah.
been with the Chiefs for on and off for a long time. And,
right.
and you know, that's so crazy. It's just
so
awesome to see, like, these guys that come from a smaller Division I school like Hawaii succeed. You know,
yeah.
there are a handful of guys out there, but, you know, he is a two-time Super Bowl winner. We could dive into that. It's just so interesting to get a player's perspective. You know, we watch him on TV. We hear the mic'd ups. But, you know, this is, like, from the horse's mouth, essentially.
Yeah.
It's really crazy to think that this guy has two rings, and
mm-hmm.
he just, like, couple years ago, he was walking around UH Manoa, where we
yeah.
walk around
yeah,
all the
right,
time.
Right.
You know, it's just crazy to think that, you know, he hangs out with Mahomes and all these cool
Mahomes.
People that I'm so jealous
wow.
of.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, he's a former
yeah.
UH player, and that's amazing to see yep. someone that, you know, wore that H
mm-hmm.
go so far.
I bet he has Travis Kelce and Mahomes' number on his
oh,
phone.
Oh, you already know.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's so
I know
cool.
He does.
It's so, like you were saying, Kyle, it's so cool. I mean, we've talked to NFL players, but to talk to a
subtle flex.
I know. Hey, you know, Jerry Rice. just saying. No, we've talked to NFL players, but to talk to a guy who's made it all the way
mm-hmm.
to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's unlike anything else
right.
to have millions from countries across the world.
Right.
I mean, everyone's watching this game to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to hear from that about what that's like. That's
I
crazy.
I cannot wait to hear just the inside scoops. I mean, we're going to ask him about, you know, he had a very key block, couple blocks on that
yeah.
special team,
yeah.
that kickoff return or a punt return from Kadarius Toney mm-hmm. that took him down to the red zone. He had a big key block. So we're going to dive into that. Davis, you got queued up something a little funky. The
something I've been curious about.
I think we've all been curious about
yeah,
that formation.
Like, what is going on? What is with this Chiefs team?
Yeah,
they really
we'll
just
go into it. You'll have to
unhinged.
Stay tuned to see what we're
yeah.
talking about. But
yeah, I'm really excited to learn the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
what's Andy Reid like the week leading into a big game?
Right.
You
yeah.
know,
right.
What's Mahomes like? And I just can't wait for him to tell us all about
mm-hmm.
that. Like, he knows all the scoops.
He does.
I can't wait.
It's gonna be super excited.
Yep.
Well. Without further ado, let's take it to the interview. Marcus, it's so cool having you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, thank you.
Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl.
Two-time.
Yeah. Hey, how does it feel, man?
It's great. I mean, it's surreal. It's hard to believe, you know. This is always your dream when you're growing up, to play in the NFL, to play in Super Bowls, but when you're actually in that moment, it's hard to believe. It's hard to describe those feelings. So I'm just feeling, you know, blessed beyond belief. So I'm just happy is the word I can describe it as.
What's it like down on field level? You know, we watch it on TV, right? You see the confetti, the cannons, and everybody getting the shirts and the hats. For a player on that team, you know, what is it like field level when the clock hits zero and you realize, you make that realization?
Sure. It's like a relief is how I can explain it. You know, you're building to that moment for an entire season, for an entire kind of career of football. For a lot of guys, if they get there, it's not very often or many times. So I've been lucky to be there a few times, but in that moment, it's a relief from all the pressure and stress that you put yourself through throughout the season, throughout your career, all culminating in that moment. And then when the clock strikes zero and you come out on top, all that kind of releases. And that's why you see a lot of guys crying, I believe, is you just feel all of that come over you, and you get to celebrate all those times, you know, your family doesn't get to see you or anything like that. It all feels worth it in that moment.
And, you know, the Chiefs had some ups and downs throughout this season. Was there kind of a moment throughout the season that you were like, okay, this team is good enough to win the Super Bowl again?
Well, I kind of joined a little bit later in the season. You know, I was with New York for camp, didn't work out there, and I was at home for a few weeks rehabbing an injury. So I kind of got to see the start of their season and where they were. And then by the time I joined, they were figuring things out. And they have an amazing staff and core group of guys there, obviously. That's why they've been so successful. So when I joined, they were just trying to get all the new guys kind of on board with that, whoever joined in free agency or the rookies. They were trying to get them on board with the place that they're going. So me being a vet that's been on that team for quite a while now, I think I kind of helped in that process, just kind of bringing some of the younger guys together with the main goal and the main vision that we've had for so long there. So it was amazing to me to see kind of jumping in at that point in the season and see the growth that they took to eventually, you know, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Marcus, kind of talk about the game itself against the Eagles. You know, what was it like out there to be on that game level, the field level, and, you know, just seeing, I mean, it was a battle between sure. you guys. I mean, that was a close game. I mean, for a lot of us, we didn't know where it was yeah. going. What was it like during the game?
That's a great team, obviously. Being in the Super Bowl, you can never take anybody lightly. Obviously, their quarterback performed really well in that game, regardless of whatever moment you see. His total game was one for the ages, I would say. And then their team is so great defensively, you know, offensively, the shots that they took. So even when, you know, we're down, we know we have the ability to always come back or always score at any moment, always take the game over. But even when we go ahead, it's hard, you know. That's a great team. So you never feel comfortable until the clock strikes zero, until that confetti starts raining down. So, like you said, it's a roller coaster. And even on the sideline, I know watching on TV, it's a little stressful. But as you can imagine on the sideline, it's even more so. You start feeling the ups and the gives and the takes and the, you know, the momentum shifts. So it was fun. It was emotionally draining. but for it to work out the way it worked out obviously makes all that worth it.
And give us a little, like, behind the scenes. So when you guys were down, what was Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy, what were they telling the team?
Well, that's the thing about an NFL team is you kind of put all that prep in during the year, during the week before. So when it comes to game time, there's not a lot of hoorah. There's not a lot of, you know, trying to hype up the team. When you come to moments like that, you kind of always prepare for situations as they arise. And so I don't think they had to say much. Obviously, they knew we weren't playing to our best ability when we weren't. So that was a point of emphasis, is to bring us back up to where we needed to be. And then while we were playing well, being successful, they reminded us that at any moment the game could turn. So I think it's important for coaches to keep their players on an even plane, and I think they do a great job of that over there.
And, you know, this Super Bowl run for you, as opposed to the last time the Chiefs made a Super Bowl run, was a bit different as far as your role and what you were, you know, contributing. You know, in the AFC Championship game, you had, you know, a critical catch, and you had a major block on special teams. in the Super Bowl. You know, for you, talk about how you were able to, you know, capitalize on your opportunities this past season with the Chiefs to, you know, make the, you know, get these, you know, these momentum shifters essentially for the Chiefs.
Well, like you said, that first time around, I was a part of the team, but being hurt in that preseason, having to take the year to rehab, I got to be around it, but not, you know, involved in it. So although I was on that team and winning and got the ring, it didn't feel as real to me. I was there at the Super Bowl. I got to celebrate with the team afterwards, but still it was a little bit different. So my goal always was to get back to that moment and play in that moment so I can feel kind of the realness of what that moment became. So that's what I worked towards, and luckily that's how it worked out. So having a play in that game, however small my impact was, having an impact was very important to me, and it made this win, this ring, feel a lot more real, and it kind of validated, you know, that previous ring, because being on the team so long, it kind of all comes together as a
right. As
a collective, you know, output of what I've put out for the team.
Right.
And I think people really want to know, you know, what it's like to be an NFL player. Just like Kyle said, I want to have you look at the screen. Sure. Take us through this moment, Marcus. I don't know if you know, this has been seen like nearly 4 million times. People have been talking about your block, your blocks, sorry. Take us through the moment. You're running down the field. Yeah, what's going through your head during this play?
So the return is actually supposed to be on the right, but as you could tell, he kind of caught it middle field, started left. So there's a lot of good blocks on this tape that you just might not see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are setting up for that right return. I happen to be at the point of attack. So I see him go left, and he coming back right, and he kind of, you know, touches me to see where I'm going to be. And right when I know he's near me, I kind of take off to find a guy to block, and I end up blocking him, which creates kind of a downfall of half of their team, and then I'm still up, so all I can do is keep blocking, right? So I try to get another one and then another one, and I really thought he was going to score. And we had talked about before the game, nobody had scored in a Super Bowl before that game, and so that was our goal as a special team unit. But, I mean, I commend everybody. You see a lot of good blocks out there. That whole right side was wide open for a reason, and it's because there was a lot of blocks out there. And so all my teammates, you know, deserve the credit on that play, not just me, especially, you know, 19, especially, you know, 88, 6, 47, all those guys that are right on that line that created that moment for us.
You get kind of cut off there in the frame. Did you give us a little –
Yeah. Well, what flex, was your celebration?
Little semi. Yeah. You know, I just, you know, there was a lot of Eagles fans on that particular side.
Okay, Marcus. Right.
No, they were just, you know, they just weren't as happy as I thought they needed to be. I mean, I know it was their team that it happened against, but it was a big play in the game, so I was just, you know, just reminding them to be involved in the game.
Maybe right.
That's all I was.
There you go. There you go.
And you know, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go for it, man.
I was gonna bring it up. You know, being a wide receiver, you know, sometimes a wide receiver can get knocked for not being wanting to block or being able to block. You've kind of made it, you know, one of your key signatures being a special teamer and being able to, you know, toss people around like that. You know, how much of a emphasis was that for you to, you know, just get these blocks down and be able to put your head into somebody?
Sure. I mean, when I first entered the league, I knew special teams was a great opportunity to make a team and stay, you know, relevant in the league. So as much as I hadn't had to do it in my college career, I didn't play very much special teams while I was here. I blocked a lot, not too much, but I did what I could. So not having those skill sets, I knew it was something I would have to focus on as I, you know, got through my rookie year. So it's something, you know, I keyed on. And like you said, there's not very many of us out there that can be a receiver and also do a lot of the dirty work. So that's where I kind of set my mindset, and it worked out those early years. And then that's kind of what I've built on going into these later seasons.
It's remarkable, Marcus.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially, you know, during that play, I know you're used to hearing the crowd noise during like a usual NFL game, but is it different in the Super Bowl, would you say? That extra roar from the crowd, what do you say? Like when that play happened, what was it like?
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, in a Super Bowl, every moment matters. Every play matters, even more so than in the regular season. You know, at any moment, the game can flip. So we knew that him getting to that point, in the punt return for him to get us down the field in that way. We knew how big it was for our team in that moment. So it feels, you feel like you made the impact in the game. You know, you feel like, even though it wasn't a touchdown, even though I didn't catch a ball to score or anything like that, you can tell that the game is now changed in our favor, at least for this moment. So to be a part of that is really special, and it being, an immortal game like the Super Bowl makes it even more sweet.
Yeah. Did you get to meet Paul Rudd during the celebration?
Yeah, so me and Paul Rudd actually have something going. So that first Super Bowl, like I said, I went down to mm-hmm. celebrate, mm-hmm. and he was obviously around there. He's always around there for those games. And so we kind of locked eyes in that moment during this first Super Bowl, and just, feeling excited, happy. We hugged each other, embraced each other mm-hmm. Just to celebrate. And then, I see him again during the AFC Championship, winning that game, putting us in the Super Bowl. And we did the same thing, kind of locked eyes and kind of giggled and embraced again, hugged again. And so then we end up winning the Super Bowl. And I think we both kind of searched each other out, and we found each other and gave a big embrace. And so it's something we got going. And I wish we had more opportunities like that. And I'm hopeful that we do. So. I think it's a cool thing to have fans like him, and then to have moments mm-hmm. big enough for those types of things.
That's so awesome.
And I have a question. How was the parade?
Oh, yes. The parade is fun.
Is it? It sounded a little skeptical there. Yeah,
that's how I could describe it. For a lot of guys, I won't say me, but for a lot of guys, it's a little tough to remember.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
It's a blast, to see a whole city come out. And when I say a whole city, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of people there. So it feels like the whole city's out there with you. And to feel kind of the joy that you put into people, into an entire state, couple states in that case. To feel that joy, it really brings you up to the same kind of level of excitement, of joy, of happiness than when you won the game. So it's always a special moment. I've been lucky enough to go through two, and like I said, it never gets you never get used to it. It mm-hmm. never gets
right.
Common in those moments. So I'm really blessed to be a part of those.
Yeah, and I mean, just being a kid at UH, did you ever think that you'd be one day, hosting the Lombardi or just being at that championship parade?
Yeah, like I said, you dream of moments like that, but it's hard to kind of grasp it and really reach out and touch it as malleable or anything that could come true. I've always dreamt of it, but being in that moment, it feels surreal. Feels like the dream that you've had for 20 years. I played football for 20 years now. So it's hard to describe, but I could never say that if you asked me while I was going to school here, while I was playing football here, that would be me. I probably wouldn't believe you. but I'm so lucky to have those moments because a lot of guys don't.
So I have a question for you, Marcus, and this is something that I've always wondered. You guys have done it. The Chiefs had ran this play like twice, and maybe you could help me out here. I'm going to play it. What is this, Marcus?
I have always
wondered this. What is going on? This isn't the first time against the Raiders. You guys have done this a couple times. What is this play?
So it's the Arctic Circle of Death, I believe we called it. It's we like to have fun. I mean, you never want to get boring. You never want to get stagnant. A lot of this stuff is a base play that we kind of put a little twist on. It's around Christmas time, so the personnel group, I think, is called Reindeer Personnel, something like that, Arctic Circle of Death. And
is that Patrick in the
and so, Arctic Circle of Death?
We get a confusion. The hard part about a football team is kind of a defense is to figure out what personnel is out there and where the strength of the offense is. And so that circle, although it looks funny, is meant for that reason, so the defense can't key on the strength. And then we rush up to the line. They've got to communicate, and then there's a lot of misdirection. He fakes a handoff left, then he goes right, then he pitches it back, and then we throw it back left. So a lot of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Oh
my God. So that's what we're hoping the defense says. Right. Oh, my goodness. And then, hopefully we get a touchdown on it. And they're always fun to practice. And then obviously, we don't know if it's ever going to be called in the game because it's such a specific. So when he does call it and we get to run it, everybody has a big smile on
them. Oh, I bet. And how many times did you guys practice that in practice? Like going in circles till you got it down.
So Yeah, I think that was the last game of the year, right? Vegas, the last game of the regular season. So that's, you know, beginning of January. So we put that in probably the week before Christmas. So there was 3 or 4 weeks of just practicing this. And it gets kind of, you know, repetitive.
Yeah.
And so you start practicing probably once a day, every day, and everybody's like, man, can we just call it? You do those circles, you get kind of dizzy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So the practicing, it wasn't as fun because you do it so much. But when people ran in the game, I mean, all those guys had big smiles on their face. Even though it got called back, I believe it you know, it's something to run it in a real game.
Yeah.
Some of these O-line got to work on their rhythm. I was noticing Joe Thuney and Creed Humphreys tripping up over their feet a little bit.
They've run a full game at that point.
Yeah.
So
they get that call. I get it.
That is so cool. You just got traded to the Commanders.
Just signed with them, yeah.
What is it, you know, what does it feel like? Whole another team. What's this kind of process like going from, you know, the Chiefs over to this brand new team?
Sure. I'm lucky enough to have Eric Bieniemy, my former OC, be over there with me, or I guess I get to be over there with him. So I think that was a big driving factor of their decision to contact me and my decision to sign with them. I think it'll be a learning process for everybody, me having to be on a new team, like you said, the team that's already been there to learn the offense that I personally have been running for 6 years. Eric, Coach Bieniemy is in a new position, so it'll be a lot of learning. I love learning, and I've taken pride in being able to learn off my offense as well as I can, so I'm excited for that challenge, all the new learning. They have a great team out there. I mean, every team in the NFL is positioned to be successful. It takes a lot of timing, a lot of, you know, certain things to go right and a little bit of luck to be a successful team in the NFL because it's so, you know, competitive. So I'm excited to see where they go. I think they've got a lot of the pieces, and I'm just happy to be a part of it right now and to try to work my way on another roster as I always have.
You talk about that, you know, being able to kind of have a fresh start as far as a team goes and just getting your foot in the door and working your way towards, like you said, to that roster spot.
Right. I've been blessed to kind of find a way to make my way on a lot of rosters or a few rosters as I've gone on in my career, and I think this is a new challenge where they've got, like I said, a lot of great players and a solid receiver room in general. And so it's going to be something where I'll feel like rookie year again, where I get to walk into a new building, which I haven't had for 6 years, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had a few stops here and there, but nothing long-term like hopefully this is. So I get to feel that feeling again, walking in as a rookie, not knowing very much, and then kind of being a clean slate to learn as much as possible from the guys that are there,
right?
From anybody that came before me and from the younger guys that are coming in with me. I get to kind of learn together with everybody and have those kind of new moments as I did before in the past.
And what are you going to miss the most about Kansas City? Not so much like the team, but like the place.
Yeah,
I mean, the barbecue, I'm sure you've heard it. Yes. Is a great thing, so I'm going to miss that for sure. And I think we'll visit. I mean, it's been home for, like I said, 6 years, so I think we'll end up going back. I don't think I'll have to miss it so much. All three of my kids were born in Kansas City, I know, so it holds a special place to us. Right, like you said, I will miss all the people there. But we got so comfortable. It was a second home, third home for us. So I think we'll end up visiting. Hopefully I don't have to miss it for too long.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of, you know, missing places and foods and things like that.
Yeah.
Right. You were kind of on the same page. You know, being back here in Hawaii with your family, I'm sure there are some foods or some restaurants that are, you know, first stop, second stop, have to go to. You know, what are the things when you come back to visit the islands, what do you need to eat? Where do you need to go? What do you need to see?
Yeah. Sure. Well, while I was here, I was a struggling college student. I didn't get to too many, you know, big time spots. I spent a lot of time at L&L. I spent a lot of time, you know, Teddy's Burgers, things like that. So we want to visit. It's hard to get good local food anywhere else other than here, obviously. So stopping at a place like L&L or anywhere close to that, we just made a stop at Surge's. We spent a lot of Taco Tuesdays there. It's important to our family. We'll stop at Teddy's and we'll head to Uncle Bo's for a nice dinner. We spent a lot of time there as well. So there are certain things on the island that we'll drive by and see, like our old apartments and things like that, and certain food spots, like I mentioned. So we feel blessed to be able to come back and kind of relive those moments together.
That's so sweet.
Well, I want to ask too, one last thing for me. Kyle and I actually interviewed Marcus Mariota, I think like 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
And I asked him something that I want to kind of ask you too. You know, what is it like to, you know, sure you have a lot of fans, Chiefs fans, Commanders, but what is it like to have support from Hawaii? Because that has kind of a special kind of meaning to some players.
It is different. And when you're here, you know, you kind of feel that. You're kind of the big show on the islands. So you feel that. And then to leave and kind of represent, there's not very many of us in the league, whether it's from the islands or played at the college. There's not too many of us. So you kind of get a special brotherhood, a special fraternity of guys. And I know every time I run into somebody like Marcus or, you know, like my former teammates like Rigo, Trayvon Henderson, a lot of those guys, you know, Jelani as well. I've got to run into a few of them and we get to, you know, chop it up about what this place meant to us and kind of, you know, what we mean to exit this place and then be on that stage. So I think we all carry that with us and being able to represent a place like mm-hmm. here, all these islands, and being able to have the H behind us always feels special. And we don't take it for granted. All of us, you know, every time we meet up, you know, like to talk about it.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
No, I mean, the Hawaii fans adore you. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, Bo's in the pros. They adore you.
I don't know if you know, too, Marcus. She's like the biggest Chiefs fan.
I tried to keep it down.
We did a Super Bowl thing, and she had her Chiefs jersey.
I'm a Chiefs fan and a Hawaii fan, so it's kind of the best of both worlds having you here. So we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
We won together.
Yes, we did.
There we go.
Chiefs Kingdom over here.
Chiefs Kingdom right here.
Oh my god, well thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been so much fun. Have a blast.
And we wish you the best. Can't wait to watch you with Washington.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast talking with you guys.
And enjoy your time here in Hawaii. Go get some good food.
I will hit all the spots.
Thank you. That was a great interview, guys.
He
just knows so much, and he's so insightful. And actually, behind the scenes, I got to speak with his wife on camera. So, I mean, if you guys want to learn more about that, just check out HawaiiNewsNow.com, and you can hear what she has to say. Just a little tidbit for you guys. She's also a former Hawaii athlete.
Wow. I did not know that.
Big Rainbow Warrior Wahine love story.
It really is. That's so cool. Amazing Manoa magic.
Was in the air.
I'm really excited to share that story because I don't think anyone knew that. Right. You know, most people didn't know that. They absolutely. At UH.
That's so, I can't wait to see it and, you know, hear their journey and that perspective on this, you know, NFL journey that they're on. But thank you, Davis, for coming in and being my co-host
again. I think we should really, Kyle, and we should be thanking Sienna.
I was about to get that. I was about to save the best for last. Like, thank you, Sienna, for coming in, setting this up with Marcus, and just joining us for a good old fun time.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah, thank you guys for having us.
No, thank you for coming on. You could have just said, no, this is for me. This is my story.
The world wants to know more about Marcus Camp.
That was super fun. Thank you so much. To check out Sienna's story on Marcus, you can head to our website, the sports tab, hnn.com. To listen to this episode or any of our other HNN Overtime episodes, you can head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get the rest of our podcasts. And to watch, you can head over to our YouTube channel. We got all those over there. Thanks again so much for watching or listening to this episode of HNN Overtime. That's going to do it. Aloha.